the follow-up to many of the things we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks in terms of what type of writing is permissible in Kolamoid, we're going to try to really conclude the sugya right now. It's not going to be really anything in the Mamar Kavos. There aren't any real Mamar Kavos. There's just two nekudas at the bottom. It doesn't matter. There's nothing b'chsam. No pun intended, there's nothing b'chsam. So we're going to talk a little bit about the issue of taking pictures on Chol HaMoed. So we have to analyze the issue of taking pictures really on two different fronts. We have to talk about, first of all, what malacha, if any, is involved in the taking of the picture in the first place. And in Tintaloma, there is some kind of a malacha involved in taking the picture, presumably related to Kosei, that's what we're talking about here. If there is, in fact, such a malacha involved, the question becomes, are there any grounds to permit on Chol HaMoed? So, of course, as we know, but there are many malachas that are permissible on Chol HaMoed. So what exactly is the status of taking pictures? So we have to analyze the issue of taking pictures also historically on several different fronts. Taking pictures today is fundamentally different than taking pictures of years gone by. So let's begin with the old style pictures. So to remember all the way back, but there used to be a time when you actually bought film in a store and you put it into a camera and you pressed the button and you sent it back to the store and you got it developed. So let's talk a little bit about the old style pictures first. I'm going to move on to some of the more modern ways of taking pictures today. So the Poskim analyzed the issue of taking pictures in the old days really on two very, very different issues. So the first is there a nisum halacha? What halacha possibly is involved in just the mere snapping of pressing a button and quote-unquote taking a picture? So the only possible halacha, at least the most possible halacha that we can deal with, is the halacha of kosev. What does it have to do with kosev? You're not writing any letters. So the Rambam is quick to tell us in the Shabbos that one can be chayav on Shabbos for drawing a picture. So since a person can be chayav on Shabbos for drawing a picture, so one can argue that the pressing of a button, which is causing a picture to be taken, so that's also considered to be part of the malach of kosher, which would be potentially problematic on Chol HaMoed. So that necessarily translates to me it's going to be osur. We'll have to discuss the tzachei yom, and we'll get a possible attainer, but just in terms of the basic malacha, it appears that taking a picture would be involved in the malach of kosher. However, not so simple that the actual pressing of the button would be a malach of kosher for the following reason. There's nothing there at the time you take the picture. When I press the button, so if I would open up the camera and look at the film right now, the film doesn't look cues that different, doesn't look like the slide is a bit different than it looked beforehand. There is a picture there, there's something which is underneath, there's something which is absorbed into the film, whatever you want to call it. But there's nothing that's physically, at least to the naked eye, there's nothing that is different. So the question is that considered to be an act of kosev altogether? So this is not so much a Chol HaMoed shaila, this is a shaila called Torah Kula. How do you define kosev? Does kosev mean that it's something that's legible, that's something that you can see the ink on the paper right now? What would the halacha be if you have some kind of a writing that's inside the cloth, or inside the background, inside the paper, and right now it's not visible, but if you would do something, if you would treat it with something, it would become visible. So right now, by Shem Shem, in the state of not being visible, is that considered to be an act of kosev or not? So believe it or not, there's a sugi about this, the Farish sugi about this, in Masechet Gittin, a little bit jump ahead for the Gittin, I don't think we're going to get to this year, for the second part of Gittin, the Gemara, on Daf Yates, speaks about this very shaila. The Gemara talks about what's that loch of a person, quote-unquote, right to get, if he takes a piece of paper, and he does something to the piece of paper that apparently he wrote the letters of the get, but the get was written in such a way that it was kind of an invisible ink. The only way to ever tell that this get exists is to apply what's called, the Gemara speaks about putting into menorah something, either some chemical, some liquid, whatever it is, which will make the letter show up. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, is that considered to be a get or not? So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that it's a suffer get. If you have a get that's written in such a way that you can't see the letters, so it's a suffix, whether the get is kosher or not. What exactly is the suffix? So there's a machlekes and rishonim, what exactly the suffix is. So Rashi says the suffix is that even though when we look at it, we don't really see anything, but if we looked at it really, really carefully, we may notice that there really is actually something that's there. So the suffix, according to Rashi, is that perhaps we didn't look carefully enough. Perhaps there really was something there and we missed it. But Rashi's implication is, look at you, that there's absolutely nothing there to the visible eye. There is nothing there that you can tell on the outside. It is, everything is movable, everything is absorbed inside the background. So the implication from Rashi is, that's not considered to be kosher. That's not even a suffix that you get. The Torah says, the chasam must save a krisus. You require a ksivus again. That's not called Ksiva Bechlal, according to Rashi, because it's absorbed inside, and whatever is not visible is not considered to be Kosev, according to Rashi. So, come, one of the Rishonim, those two, the Rendishim, the Fishyat, the Rebbe Kreskis, one of the Rishonim, in Masechet Gittin, the Rebbe Kreskis was, for many, many years, was mistakenly thought it was the Chidush Yaritva of Masechet Gittin, and they realized afterwards it was a different Rishon. He was a contemporary of the Ritva, so that same school of thought as the Ritva was a different person. So, Rebbe Kreskis says that's not the Suffolk in the Gemara. The Suffolk is not whether maybe the Ksav is visible, maybe the Ksav is not visible. The Suffolk in the Gemara is a halachic Suffolk, namely, is Ksav that's invisible called the Ksav Anot. It means, what is the halach about a Ksav Amuvla? Ksav that's totally absorbed into the paper that we know we can't see. We're looking at it, we're staring at it in the best of light, we can't see a thing. But the mice, it's absorbed inside. So is that called the halachic Ksav, or is that not called the Ksav? That's the Suffolk in the Gemara. So the Gemara is talking about a case where you give a get, and it appears to us, we don't see anything on the paper, but there's something that's inside. There's something that if you would apply chemicals to it, and after you do apply chemicals to it, it'll taka show up. So the Gemara concludes it's a suffix whether the get is good. So Rashi says the suffix is, everybody agrees that a ksav that's not visible is not a ksav. The shaila is, the suffix is this visible or not? Maybe it is visible if we look carefully enough. And the Kreska says, no, the suffix is a ksav that's movable, is a ksav that's not visible, is that halacha we consider to be a ksav? So according to Rashi, it's a suffix in mitzius. According to Rabbi Kreska, it's a suffix in halacha. How does this play out now in terms of the writing of the chalamoy, in terms of the pictures of the chalamoy?
And the assumption is that the
similar
holds will apply for
Kitin and for Shabbos. Right, that's the assumption. That, right. If we ever get to the second parable, we'll talk about that a little bit more. So, L'chora, how does this play out?
When we get to the second
parable. Yeah, okay, there you go. Only on the ballad, there are only 16 vod in there. So, how does this play out in terms of Cholamoy? So, a person presses the button. And now they cause this inference on the film. The good old days of taking pictures. They cause something on the film. If you look at this film from today till tomorrow, you will see nothing. Absolutely no for a fact. You'll see absolutely no change. Cues there. No physical change in the film. However, if you apply a couple of chemicals, you go to your dark room, you throw out a couple of solutions or something, hocus pocus, all of a sudden the picture is going to show up. So this is the classic example of ksav amuvla. This is a ksav that's not visible at all. So according to Rashi, if we really know for a fact that's not visible, that's not Kreshay. That's nothing according to Rashi. It's zero according to Rashi. It's just that in the case of the Gemara Gittin, we weren't so sure. We should look at it so carefully. But today, we would know for sure. If we look at this film before it's developed, there's absolutely nothing there. Therefore, according to Rashi, the Chorus, this would not be an act of Kosev. So we don't have to discuss whether it's Mutter Hasa Chabad. It's not a walk. It's nothing to talk about according to Rashi.
What would Rashi say about the Polaroid?
We'll get to it.
Rashi includes the malachas to get there, or in the camera, or those are separate malachas that are...
I mean, other things like the electricity, batteries, other things that are involved. Right. Okay, let's put those on hold for a minute. Let's just focus on the concept for a second. But according to Rebbe Kreskis, not so simple, according to Rebbe Kreskis, the creation of an image, the creation of letters that are not visible right now, we're not sure that that's not called ksiva. In Hukos Gittin, where Chalishesh maybe is called ksiva, so now you would have a suffix in Hukos Cholamoy. According to Rashi, the freebie, it's at the government, it's not called ksiv. But according to Rebbe Kreskis, we're not sure it's not called ksiv. We don't know. So we have to be machmer in both. We're machmer in Gittin not to accept such a get. Maybe it's not called ksav. But we would have to be machmer in Hukos Cholamoy, or maybe it would be suffix Cholamoy, lechum and lekulu, depending on some of the things we spoke about in the past. There would at least be a snake in the deed in Hukos Cholamoy. We wouldn't be able to be machmer it so fast. So that's l'chora what the sugi should look like in terms of the taking of the picture itself. Now we move on to the next stage. Let's say the picture was taken already, it was taken before Cholamoy. Now I want to develop the picture on Cholamoy. So now l'chora, the sheet has become flipped. What would the halacha be in terms of developing the picture on Cholamoy? So according to Rashi, to develop the picture on Cholamoy would be a serious problem, because that would be the act of Kosev. Since according to Rashi, ksav which is mugla, ksav which is absorbed inside and not visible, and you know for a fact it's not visible, so it's not called ksav. So then the transforming that non-ksav to being ksav, like throwing it into the solution, in the act of kaisim. Well, then up. So according to Rashi, that would be the malacha. Whereas according to Rebbe Kreskis, that would be a suffix. The same way, the first case is a suffix, because according to Rebbe Kreskis, when you have this ksav that's not visible at all, it's absorbed into the paper, maybe this kaisim, maybe it's not kaisim. So I'll decide that it is kaisev, it's also to take the picture. I'll decide that it's not kaisev, then it's also to develop the picture. The only thing that would for sure be also would be to do both. If you take the picture and develop the picture, so then according to Rebbe Kreskis, then for sure you're going to be, you are violating this or felsic somewhere along the way.
Tavuk of a big tzav is definitely
enough, though. Tavuk of a big tzav, it's complicated, so you also have your test. Okay, I guess I don't know, we have to revamp the schedule again.
That's maybe partially, you read writing.
Yeah, but it's not really tavuk of a big tzav, because the Gemara says that dioga b'sikra is a problem. Because let's say sikra is red ink, is a low quality ink. If you rewrite with black ink over red ink, that would be chayav on Shabbos. So either shofik or mivadim, or just rishonim. So here also, since the taking of the picture is meaningless, I can't do anything with it. Now I develop the picture, that's a gavaldic, a new act. So that was a tikkun, that's considered to be secondary less than the yoga of sikra, which would be a problem on Shabbos. So come and post can say that maybe if we could possibly permit the taking of a picture based on the Shittas Rashi or something or Ben Kreskes, but to permit to develop the picture would be much more chomer, because to develop the picture, Rashi holds it outright would be a problem. So it's based on this that the Poskim began to discuss years ago about the Polaroid, the person amazing the new chap. You could take a picture and develop it all at the same time. So the chora, that would be a problem. Because even if you want to be mocked to take the picture, you want to rely on Rashi, but if you're taking the picture and developing the picture, then l'chor, that would be a problem. L'chol ha'deis, the Rashi, the developing would be a problem, because they're going to question, one of the two parts of the procedure would be a problem.
Not the original chor, you had to remove the, or it doesn't, but until you remove the cover, the picture wouldn't.
Mean if you would just take the picture and leave it there?
Right.
Okay, right. So that would be the same as taking a regular picture, right? So comes,
and that would work the same digital.
Okay, we're gonna get to digital. This is a whole different story. So come the poskim and throw a monkey wrench into this discussion. Maybe we've been talking about the wrong halacha. I mean, at least one of the halachas we've been talking about is kosek, but maybe there's a different halacha that has to be put into this cheshbon. The halacha of boneh, he's building. What's our boneh? So we spoke about this on the Shabbos year already, it's been over a year ago. We spoke about Malacha's Bona. So Malacha's Bona, although it's primarily involves building in terms of structures, in terms of building a house, that's considered to be the classic Bona. There is an issue of Bona B'Kalim in the following sense. If I take something from scratch, if I just take junk and I transform it into a kli, a Asiyas Kli Mitchila, according to most of the Rishonim, is considered to be a violation of Bona. Not everybody agrees to that. So that's how many Rishonim assume, that if I go ahead and plumbish from scratch and I make a kli, that's considered to be an act of bona. If you remember, that's what we said, that was the famous Chazanish about bona by cans. The Chazanish's opinion was that a can is basically a piece of junk. You can't do anything with it. It's closed up. You can't do anything with it. So when you open up a can, you're transforming a piece of scrap metal into a functioning kli. That's considered to be a loch of bona. Remember we said that was a big machlokes from Moshe and the Chazanish at the time. The Chazanish held that the opening of cans is a potential malach of bone. And Moshe said, forget it. Moshe said, when it's closed, it's a kavaldic kli. It could store a can. It could store food for the next 10 years. Once you open it up, then what are you doing there now? You can't keep the food in there for too long. So that's forget. Rather than violating bone, you violate it sosa. So that was an interesting machlokes here. Moshe and the Chazanish with Afkamina Zandina, whether the opening of can is a potential bone shayla or a potential sosa shayla. So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach with the following chiddush. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and suggests that when a person makes, relevant for us here, a person makes a tape on Shabbos. A person presses a button, he starts to talk into a tape, or starts to talk into, makes a CD, makes a tape, whatever it is. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, he thinks that that may be a violation of Bona on Shabbos. Bona? He says, yeah. According to this Chazanish, according to that Ron and Shabbos, that you take a piece of junk and you turn it into something which is functioning. So in the Chabon and Golem, you take a tape, it's nothing, put it in a blank tape, put it in a blank CD, it's nothing, it's worthless. You go ahead and you talk about it, you go ahead and you make music out of it, you've transformed it into something that's functioning. You can now put it in the CD library upstairs. So you took a piece of junk and you turned it into something that's worth something. Maybe that's a violation of Bona and Shabbos.
What happens if each individual part has a value, and is it still bone there?
It's still bone.
So we're not focusing on the intrinsic value
right.
of the product.
I think that you're making a new kli from scratch, right? I think that's considered better. The marker for this idea is the Gemara Shabbos, which speaks about making a shovel on Shabbos. The person takes a blade and takes a piece of wood and he screws them together, so the Gemara seems to say, Yechai b'shem bona. So the Rishonim ask, I ain't binyan b'kalim, there's no violation of bone on kalim. So the Ron says in that Gemara, no, ain't binyan b'kalim. That means something which is already a kli, and now you just touch it up with something, that's not called boner. That's maybe machal patish, maybe no. But if you take the different pieces and you form a kli, even though in theory you could do something with a blade, even if it's not a shovel, I don't know, you can do something with it. So, but the forming of a shovel, the making of a shovel from its components, that's considered to be malacha boner.
So I would have looked at a CD or a tape as makam patish, not as boner, because basically you, there's no shinui in the kli itself. Try to call it a kli, otherwise we don't have a name for it. So it's not the blade and the wood coming together. It's
one kli that's broken. That's not ready yet.
It's one kli that's ready. It has a function. It's a blank CD. It's a blank thing. It has a function. You're adding an element on it that's now has a value. It has a marketable value, meaning that no one's going to buy this without some music on it or some type of shear. Or no one's going to listen to it because it's just sound. Good.
So I'm not sure that's Makam Patish. I'm not sure. I don't. Makam Patish and Boda are tough malachas to distract you.
I don't see.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, let's go for our purposes. We're not even really discussing the CDs. We're going more in terms of the film. So let's go to the root of Shlomo Zalman for a second. So comes the Shmir Shabbos to Chosra, and he raises the following question. According to Shlomo Zalman, who is applying this concept of a CS Kli Mechadash to the making of a CD, to the making of a tape, maybe we should say the same thing regarding the making of a picture. We have film. I have a blank film in front of me, and it's harmless. I'm only going to do it right now. So the only thing that's giving it chashiva, making it the you want to call it boneh, you want to call it machal pas, whatever you want to call it, the chorab transforming the empty film to a film that has a picture on it. Even if you're going to tell me like Rashi, that's not called kosev, because ksav has to be something that's visible. But the same if Shlomo Zalman called the tape, the music is also invisible on the tape. And still, if someone's almond called that a violation of bona, so maybe the taking of a picture should be a violation of bona. That was the Shmir Shabbos' ha'ara, according to Shlomo's almond. So he says that no, he's yesh lechalik. A tremendous chilik between the two. In the case of the tape, in the case of the CD, once I finish making my CD, it's ready to go. It's finished. Once I make the tape, it's ready to roll. I can stick it into a recorder. I can listen to it. My shanking the picture, just because I took the picture, it's still not usable. I still have to do something to it. I have to go ahead and send it to be developed. Then I'll sit in its, silver nitrate, whatever they put it into for an hour. Then and only then is it going to become usable. So I didn't make the clear yet. So I took a piece of film that's worthless, and I made it vital into a piece of film that's worthless. It's worth a little bit more because I can send it off to develop for a couple of dollars. But I was not the one who took a piece of junk and turned it into a functioning clea. In the case of the tape, in the case of the CD, I took a piece of junk and I finished the job. I made it into a functioning clea that can be stuck into a recorder right now. So according to this understanding of the Shmir Shabbos, we're back to the Kaisev Malacha. It means the bone slash Makla Patish is not as critical in terms of the taking of pictures. The only Malacha that we're really left with is the Malacha bone. Just the fact. I'm sorry, cousin. If you remember, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, you asked me a shout about making CDs on Chol Moed.
You made my wife so exactly happy because we can't produce the, you know.
That's right, you see. Down. That's the whole reason. I'll do more Chol Moed. That's what Hansom Kushyam said. That's what many of Hashem say. So there's a big shayla. So the making of CDs is pashta, some kind of a malacha. According to Shlomo Zalman, maybe shayla boner. But maybe with other reasons, we'll talk about Sarachayom and things like that. Again, so the starting point of the issue is we had to just identify which malachas are potentially involved in the taking of pictures in the first place. So malachas kosev may be involved in the taking of the picture itself, according to Rashi for sure not. Malachas kosev more probably is involved in the developing of the picture rather than the taking of the picture. When it comes to the making of the CDs and the tapes, there may be another issue involved, which would be the issue of bona. So assuming that we have some kind of a malacha involved.
We also talked about expertise in making it.
Okay, that's what we're going to get to. So assuming there's some kind of malacha involved.
Vega?
What?
Like coloring?
It's different than Shaveya. It's like drawing pictures. Rabbi might say drawing a picture is considered to be malacha's kosev. You're making an image. Shaveya is usually when you just take a dye and you make something which used to be white, now you make it into red. Just taking the blank, white and turning it into a color, that's usually tzaveya. When you make an image of something, that's closer to kosev. So let's assume for now there's some kind of malach involved in these things. Question is, are there any hetayim? Are there any tzadim l'hakam? So comes Rav Moshe, and he's quoted, it's quoted in the back of the Sefer Kos Cholamoid, in the 12th of the Ramakam, so we haven't printed it out, but comes Rav Moshe, and he says he thinks that taking the pictures primarily should be mutter, notwithstanding the different malachas that are potentially involved for the following reason. So says Rav Moshe, l'chora, it's a ma'aseh hedyot, because every time they get married, they also take a picture. In the old days, once they come, they get to take a picture, you just stand there, you click a button. So comes the Moshe, he thinks it should be a ma'aseh hedyot, but wait, not so simple. Ma'aseh hedyot itself, we already learned Chol HaMoed long enough, we know that ma'aseh hedyot itself is not a ma'aseh. You require ma'aseh hedyot l'tzorech HaMoed. If you have a combination of these two factors, ma'aseh hedyot l'tzorech HaMoed, then it becomes mutter even l'chadchila. So the question is, what exactly is the tzorech HaMoed over here of taking pictures? The family's going to the zoo, so they want to take pictures. So my high, what's the gevaldig tzorech HaMoed involved? So Rav Moshe appears to be the shitasa, on something that we spoke about previously. If you remember, there was Machlokes Rav Moshe and others about stam enjoyment. The person just stam wants to enhance the Chol HaMoed a little bit. He doesn't need it for food, doesn't need the clothing. So you give him a, put a smile on his face, on his kid's face. So a little, take a picture for the smile on his face. He wants to add to his enjoyment of Yontif. That could tend to be the tzorech HaMoed or not. So you remember, we originally spoke about this Rav Moshe, the fishing, I think it's a year ago already, we spoke about going fishing on Chol HaMoed. What's that halacha? So the Gemara says that you're allowed to go fishing on Chol HaMoed, provided that you need the fish for Chol HaMoed. So then it's mamash Echol Nefesh, Echol Nefesh. Everything is mut, even by a woman is mut for Echol Nefesh. What's the thing if you don't want the fish? So for the simple reading of the Gemara is that you're not allowed to go fishing. If you don't need the fish for Chol HaMoed, you want to catch the fish for after Yontif, that's a problem. So comes the Moshe and says, no mad development more that the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch say you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed if you don't need the fish. That's for a fisherman. He's not going to fish to enjoy fishing. He's going, that's his business, that's his job. He's going to collect fish. So if he's going to collect fish for Chol HaMoed, so he needs it for Chol HaMoed, so that's going to be mutter. But he's going fishing and he wants to now freeze the fish, store the fish after Yontif, so that's doing a malach. Malach is tzedah, shalol tzor HaMoed. So even though it's a nice hedgehog, maybe going fish, maybe everyone knows how to fish, maybe this guy forget knows how to fish better than most people. So that would still be problematic. But says Rav Moshe, you're talking about a father and a son running on a fishing trip together. Why? Not because they want the fish. That's not the real reason why. It's their very act of bonding. The act of fishing is an enjoyable. I remember when a couple of summers ago in Marsha, so my boys had, they used to have fishing for them. So once a week, they would sit on the dock for an hour. I never saw my kids sit in one place for so long. Maybe I should get some fish in my own living room. They would sit there. I remember it used to be one of them, I forgot already, one of them used to have fishing on Sunday morning, like 9 o'clock, that was fishing time. So every once in a while we would come back for Shabbos. So I knew we had to be back. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get backed up, to drive up for 3 hours back to Lake Como. Because the chas v'sholom, one of the boys would miss 2 minutes of fishing. I would never hear the end of it for the whole week. So fishing is a very enjoyable experience. So comes the Moshe and says, I'm going fishing not for the fishing. Why fishing? Enjoy with the fishing. So that's mutter. So therefore, it's ma'aseh hedyot tzorech HaMoed and it's mutter. If you remember, we extrapolated from Moshe to the apple picking. This was a very hot topic in our shul, this past Chol HaMoed Sukkos. They organized a trip to apple picking. So the shaila was, you're allowed to go apple picking on Chol HaMoed. So it depends. So if you're going apple picking because you want to make apple pies and you want to make apple sauce and you want to make apple kugels and everything, so then it's fine. It's happens over then. It's a tzorech HaMoed and it's fine. But what if you want to collect hundreds of apples you're never going to plan on eating them for Chol HaMoed? You're sticking in, you use them for after Yontif. So the pashas and malachas, that's a problem. Picking apples and malach of kotzer, even though it's a malach of hedyot, any time to get out to pick an apple, but it's still a malach of kotzer, and it should be a bais hedyot, shalom tzorech HaMoed, would be problematic. So I thought that according to Rav Moshe, it's put there also. Why are you going apple picking for? Because it's fun. The kids like apple picking. They don't get the Torah's fun. The Torah's enjoyment. Not so much that they want to eat 500 apples. The kids don't even like eating apples. But they want to do it. The Torah's the fun of going picking apples. So according to Rav Moshe, I thought that was mutter also. So not everyone agrees to Rav Moshe. But I thought according to Rav Moshe, that should be okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows when the person is honest or not. If the person is honest and he really enjoys this kind of activity, then according to Moshe it should be mutter.
Yeah,
that's that's a Reb Yishurim, that would be also, because it's the different mice. Reb Yishurim is only, let's say, if I have a pot of soup, I only need one bowl of soup. So I'm allowed to cook a whole pot, even on Yom Tov, look, I'm allowed to cook a whole pot of soup. Whereas, but over here, no, because Reb Yishurim only applies if it's one action. Let's say on Yom Tov, I want to cook up, I only need one bowl, so I'm going to cook three pots of soup. That's a problem.
No, so I'll tell you where the machshava is. Person picks 10 apples. Oh, they say, you know what, these 10 apples are not so good. Now, the next 10 apples will be better, my pie's going to be better. So
that would be one thing. Okay, so that's the whole thing about harava, about how much you're allowed to be ma'arim, amlechas chalamoed. So if that's really what happens, he picks 5 apples and he sees these are not so good, afterwards he goes to pick more, that's the shomotah. But he's allowed to do that with chachiva. I'm going to collect 5 apples, oh, I like these apples, I need more apples. That's a shayla.
So you can't mix the Haram Shel
Rubli Shurim, Haram Shel. Right, that's a question, right? How far Haram goes with Cholmai. So again, so according to Rav
Moshe, you disregard the Malacha as long as
enjoyment. It depends. We are, Rav Moshe is making a lot of other folks who disagree with Rav Moshe. So those who rely on Rav Moshe rely on Rav Moshe, but there are others who disagree. So L'chora B'das, those who disagreed, I think it was Deborah Tzidera, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Bapulta Rav Moshe, and there's others who disagreed with Rav Moshe. So then, Hadukush Laduchta, so a guy wants to take a picture on Chol HaMoed. So again, we're not sure that taking of the picture itself is also in the first place. It's still a snake seker. So it could be that taking of the picture may not be a malacha altogether. But let's say the Polaroids or whatever, other things that will involve a malacha. So Rav Moshe was matered outright because the Maaseh Hedyo with Tzorach HaMoed. So here, there are others who disagree with Rav Moshe, but it could be that it may be also even the Svaras Rav Moshe for the following reason. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted in the Sefer of Chol HaMoed as saying that who said that taking a picture is a Maaseh Hedyot? What do you mean? Rav Yaakov in Munster, they don't know how to take pictures. So Rav Yaakov says, no, we misunderstood what Maaseh Hedyot and Maaseh Uman means. We usually think Maaseh Hedyot means, I always give the example, anything that Tom, Dick, and Harry can do. That's called Maaseh Hedyot. Maaseh Uman means you got to go hire a guy, you got to go find a guy who's got expertise in doing it. That's called the Maaseh Uman. That's what we usually define Maaseh Hedyot. That's what Ramesh probably defined it. The apple said no. The apple said, Maaseh Hedyot means something that comes out sloppy. Something that you look at it, you see that this is an amateur kind of a job. This is something that we gave the example, the Mishnah says, the guy who's sewing, the guy doesn't know how to stitch it. If I would try to sew a button on, believe me, it would be a Maaseh Hedyot. I probably wouldn't even connect to the thing. But that would be a Maaseh Hedyot go to Mizel. So says Rabbi Yaakov, Maaseh Hedyot is, when you look at it, you see, this is a sloppy job. A Maaseh Uman is, when you look at it, you see, this is a nice looking job. If you have a situation where everybody could do that nice looking job, that's still called a Maaseh Uman, says Rabbi Yaakov. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov said, take pictures. It's true that any 3-year-old knows how to press the button, but unless, sometimes you can hold the picture of the camera like this, sometimes they take a picture of their nose, okay, whatever it is, but if a normal adult is holding a camera in a half-decent way, the picture's going to come out very nice. It's going to come out beautiful. It's going to be Acha Maaseh Uman. Okay, it's true. It's not a professional photographer. That's true. But him goes there, it's going to come out pretty nice looking. Says Rabbi Yaakov, he's cheshish that taking pictures for a regular person today is considered to be a chashash of a Maaseh Uman. If it's a Maaseh Uman, then we'll mamash up the creek. A Maaseh Uman, there are no grounds to be mad. A Maaseh Uman, even with Tzorach HaMoed, even if you make it like Rav Moshe's Tzorach HaMoed, it's still going to be problematic. So Rav Moshe, in order to be making and taking of the pictures, had to come up with 2 chidushim. He had to be mechadish. That's called the Maaseh Hedyot. That's not such a mechadish. That's the pashas in Maaseh Hedyot. And he had also the mechadish. That's called the Tzorach HaYom. Again, this is all assuming that there's any malacha mechlal involved. If there's no malacha involved, no malacha is no malacha. But assuming that there is some kind of a chashash of kosev in the taking of the pictures, Rav Moshe was still matter it based on Maaseh Hedyot and Tzorach HaMoed. And Rav Yaakov Asen is based on the fact that it's called the Maaseh Uman. But there is another tzav hakol that perhaps one can be made to take pictures on Chol HaMoed based on Dovra Oved. What's the Dovra Oved? It depends what the scene is, what the shot is. So it depends. So you take your kids to the zoo, and you got this unbelievable picture of your child just finally after 10 trips to the zoo, they're finally, overcome, they have enough courage to feed the goat or something. So it's a gewaldige picture. The fact that if you're feeding goats, they're feeding the sheep on Chol HaMoed, if it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, be careful not to buy the animal feed, it's Chometz Gomer. So, side, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So the person's feeding the sheep on the Chol HaMoed Sukkos with this animal feed, it's like a Valdir shot, a once in a lifetime shot. So, come the postman and says, Chadav Ravid, it's a lost opportunity. So it's never going to come again. Or let's say, Lamashi, you have a family, bar mitzvah or something, and your uncles and aunts from Australia came in, and you're not going to see them for another 10 years. You finally get the whole family together. So, get the whole family together, Chadavra Ovid, when are you going to get such an opportunity again? So we just made a bat mitzvah for my daughter this past Sunday. So it was an unbelievable chiddush to get the family together. So how often you get a family together? I said, I don't even know, begin to look forward to her wedding. I said, it took us an hour and a half just to take bat mitzvah pictures. So I don't even want to begin to think about the chasana pictures. And that was only one side. So anyway. So those are you have to seize the moment, opportunity. It's opportunity lost. If you don't take it, meal damn by the yom, what's going to take? When are you going to get everyone together again? So come to Poskim and say with all seriousness, a shalom davar oved. So if it's a davar oved, forget it. If it's a davar oved, it's mutter even according to Yaakov, because a davar oved is mutter even in my seumah is mutter b'machom davar oved. So we have a few stodim l'kan l'kan here. On the one hand, we're not sure that taking the pictures of Malach in the first place. And even if it's a malacha, maybe it's mutter based on Maisa Hedyo, but we're not so sure that it's a Maisa Hedyo. Maybe it's called a Maisa Uman. But even if it's called a Maisa Uman, sometimes it's mutter based on Davar Oved. So we have a few different things that are flying around, different considerations, in terms of who would have thought taking a picture of Chalas, Shalom, the Shashayla. So next week, let's finish up in terms of the factors involved in taking the pictures. Then the factors involved a little bit more than developing the pictures. Are there any stuff in the Chalas to develop pictures on Chalamayim? And then we have to take this down to the modern day application in terms of digital cameras. How does any of this play out in terms of
computers?
How does any of this play out in terms of these kinds of shadows? So we'll let Shem next week finish this up again.